That means we're going live. Welcome.
Whoa. Hello. Hello. Is this work?
Hey, before we get started, just a, do you like PowerShell? Yeah, there we go.
It's good.
Take it away, sir.
All right, howdy. Welcome to PowerShell Unplugged. I'm Jeffrey Snover, and this is?
Don Jones.
Yes. Don, by the way, if you first kind of level check the audience. How many people don't use PowerShell? Okay, a couple beginners. How many people use PowerShell like 3 times a week? Oh, wow. Okay, this is great. Okay, so, we're going to have a little bit of content for everybody here. So this story starts with a keynote that I did in Norway. I was in Oslo, I was doing a keynote, and there's a room roughly double this size, and I was talking about the cloud, right? And so it was big cloud keynote, and then I also had a PowerShell beginners session later in the week. Anyway, so in the middle of my cloud keynote, I thought, well, hey, I'll just level check my audience. And so I asked that question, how many people are, you know, active, you know, PowerShell users? And basically everyone's hands went up. And I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble, you know, because I've got a basic session, you know, learning PowerShell. This is not good. And so then that evening there was a panel and they were asking us all sorts of questions. And one of the questions they asked everyone in the panel was, what's your favorite PowerShell command? And this one guy says, oh, something about virtualization. And this other guy says storage, he loves that. And this other guy's like, sim instance, he loved that. And it was my turn. And I said, get help. And everybody laughed. They thought it was a joke. Oh, you know, inventor of PowerShell uses get help. It's like, no. I use get help all the time. It's the most important thing there is going. And so I realized I kind of combined these two things, the dilemma of everybody was using PowerShell with this kind of like, I didn't think people really kind of got why I would use get help. And so I threw my session away and just did PowerShell Unplugged. And PowerShell Unplugged is where I just kind of stand up here and I say, hey, here's how I use PowerShell, and kind of walk through some things and show you how we learn PowerShell. So the essence of PowerShell, the essence of being successful with PowerShell, is to adopt a sense of exploration and fun. And so what I want to do is I want to teach you those techniques of how to explore the surface, because it's vast. You know, there's no possible way that you can remember all of it. In fact, I don't know, Don, did I ever tell you the story about the Unix admins? So there was a study done a couple years ago. And it was funny because they had done a similar study about 20 years earlier and had achieved the same conclusion. And the study was this. They took some beginner Unix admins and some guru admins, and they gave them a written test. They scored the test, and guess what? There wasn't very much of a difference between a beginner and an expert on a written test. But then they put them on, in front of a machine, and the difference in performance was enormous. And that was the point. It's not that these experts remembered anything. They could barely remember as many things as the beginner. But what they were experts at was getting in front of a machine and figuring it out. Okay, so that's the skill I hope you to walk away with.
Hey, quickly raise your hand if you've ever told someone in your company RTFM. You guys know what that means, right? Yeah, a few hands go up. How often do you do it? Yeah. You ever put together the IKEA furniture without reading the directions? Yeah, those cam locks are important. And the point of PowerShell, as Jeffrey's saying, is the ability to discover what's in there, which changes with every new version, with every product you install, and with every new version of Windows. So it's constant process of discovery. Whatever you think you know today, in like 6 months, will be incomplete. So it's discovering, but it's also understanding how it works. And the product can tell you how it works. And if you're not willing to kind of follow along with this little procedure that he'll show you, if you're not willing to play a little bit, you'll probably not be successful at PowerShell. And as you'll see, jump in if you'd like.
I want to show the other slide.
Oh, show the other slide.
But one more thought. The other thing I want you to walk away with was, I'm going to show you, like literally I have nothing planned, right? I don't have like, oh, and here's the script, and this, we're going to like just explore. And you'll see that I make a ton of mistakes. I can't type for crap. That's why there's wildcards everywhere, and et cetera. And so what I want you to see is, you know, I'm a distinguished engineer. I'm the lead architect with Windows Server and Power and System Center Data Center, and I invented the dang thing. And still, there's a struggle to it, and that's normal. So when you're sitting there and you like go and you're trying to figure something out and you're struggling with it, that's normal. Like, don't say, oh, I'm a dope or this thing sucks. It's like, yeah, work through it. That's the process. You figure it out. You bash on it, you bash on it, bash on it.
I teach probably a few thousand people PowerShell every year, and I think the one question that always comes up all the time is, after we've worked through some really difficult concept, they want to go, okay, great, now I understand. You showed it to me, I got it. How would I have avoided that whole thing to begin with? How would I have avoided the mistake and the read and the mistake and the try again and the mistake and then finally getting it right? You'll never avoid that. That's the whole point of it. So you've got to be willing to go into this with an attitude of experimentation. You're gonna mess up, hopefully in the test environment,
yes,
but maybe not.
Well, that's why we added what if.
but it is about playing with it. And so that's kind of what we're gonna do here, is play a little bit, but with direction.
Yeah, okay, so here are the key things to talk about. Learning how to learn. So help, get help, upgrade help. Get command, show command. Get member and show object. Anybody using show object? Oh, really?
There's actually some folks doing that. Wow.
That's a surprise. Well, you'll see why that's a surprise to me in a minute. And then get PS drive. Like, this is it. Like, if you master these things, you're in great shape. And master these things and then figure out how to use them together. Okay, so with that, well, here, let's do this one. Let's just do the announcement.
Yeah, sure.
So the reason why I said, I was surprised a lot of people use show object. Show object is written by Lee Holmes. Lee Holmes has a fantastic book called The PowerShell Cookbook. And in it, he's got a bunch of great stuff, and one of them is the show command. And it's a way to explore objects. And the gotcha is, you know, at some point I found it and I downloaded it and I used it, but then I'm constantly, you know, reprovisioning machines, constantly going from this machine to that machine. And so it turned out that it was just a hard time to ever keep that thing, you know, around. So now what we've announced is PowerShell Get. Now, let me step back a second. In the past, I don't know if you noticed it, but at Build, there was a kind of pretty big announcement, a pretty important announcement. And it was that in the past, what we would do is we would innovate on management technology, and we'd ship that in the latest version of Windows, or the next version of Windows, and then we would take that technology and we would make it available down level through something called the Windows Management Framework. So that's where you get PowerShell, the latest version of PowerShell on 2008 R2, that sort of thing. At Build, we announced a change in our approach, a change in our strategy to put us on a more cloud footing. So now what we do is we announce, as we innovate technology, we make it available first in the Windows Management Framework on the latest OS, and then we take all those things and we'll put it in the next version of Windows and ship it down level. So in other words, as soon as we're ready with a feature, we're giving it to you. And so we announced that at the previous, at Build, we announced OneGet. Did anybody see OneGet? Oh, no. Really?
Folks.
Okay. Yeah. OneGet. Well, let's start off by showing them OneGet, because then that was last month. But now there's this month. So this month, last month, we released OneGet. This month, I believe on Wednesday, we'll be releasing a new version of the Windows Management Framework that includes PSGet. Okay, so OneGet. Now, how do you do things? Well, one of the things you do is you explore get command, and there's this great thing called module. By the way, PowerShell ISE, the integrated scripting environment, great way to explore PowerShell because of things like IntelliSense. Wait, this is way too big. Anyway, so module, OneGet. And notice we have add package source, find package, get package source. So let's explore this package source notion. Get package source. Okay, so there's this package source. There's a repository out there called Chocolaty. Chocolaty is based upon NuGet, and is just a set of simple conventions on top of that. And notice, you can have multiple package sources. You'll see more coming out in the future. And currently it says is trusted, says no. Okay, and you'll see why in a second. So now what I can do is I can say find package. Now, After you run this a while, you'll discover that it actually runs a whole bunch of things, right? It shows you a ton of stuff. And so it takes a long time, and then you see a whole bunch of stuff, and they flew past you. So often what you want to do is you want to do some operation, and you'll want to save the results. So typically what I do, there's two ways to do it. One is to say OVA. Anybody use OV?
It's out variable.
Out variable. That's a shorthand. It's called out variable. And so what it does is I'm going to run this.
And notice that you just give it the variable name. There's no dollar sign. Use the dollar sign to get what's inside the variable once it puts it in there.
Yes. Okay, now this goes on and on and on. And what's happening is everything that gets output to the screen also gets assigned to this variable A. So now you saw that. Notice how long that took. Now I can just say $A and get it again. Okay?
And so, these are all the packages that's up on the chocolatey repo.
Exactly. The other thing we have is outgrid view. Should probably add that to the list of things to remember.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's nice. Not one of the critical things, but it's a very cool thing. And outgrid view, you can go and search for things. Anyway, so here you're seeing all the packages that are available. See, there's Perl, there's Tickle, there's all the browsers, etc. So what this is all about, right, so you can see the general direction we're going, inspired by this cloud journey, is to eliminate the friction for you to be able to consume tons and tons and tons of windows, whether it's tons of windows in Azure, tons of windows in a service provider, tons of windows in a private cloud. And one of the barriers to that is you provision a new server, you get a new server, and then you got to go what I call the scavenger hunt. Oh, let's see, I needed this, click, click, click. Oh, and then I needed that, click, click, click.
And you know, half the things only install through a wizard, and so you got to sit there and next finish. And anybody ever try and play around with unattended install scripts through MSIs, and they're all different and crazy? Well, this is intended to help make that easier. You can build out a server by just grabbing these maybe from a trusted repository or a public repository and just scripting the install of all of them. And it's straightforward and it's easy.
Yes. So notice here, I don't know if you can see this, but notice that in PowerShell ISE, you can zoom things up and zoom things down. And now grid view, you can't do that, right? So that's kind of a problem. You know, we would like to add that, but currently we don't do that. And so you know what I should have done is I should have installed Zoomit.
Oh, yeah.
So one thing would be to say, okay, go to your search page, search Zoomit, find it, navigate around, click download, accept the EULA.
You just use a Mac, too. It's built right in.
Whack. Pay no attention to this man. Okay. Or what you could do is you could say install package Zoomit. I'll say -4. Well, let's just say Zoomit.
And now you don't need to know where it is. You don't need to know how to install it. You don't need to know what else it might need as a dependency to be pre-installed. This will figure all that out and just do it.
Yes. Now, notice it's asking a very important question. It says, warning, this package is not marked as safe. The package source is not marked as safe. Now, let me explain this chocolatey community. What happens is somebody, right, might be Mark Arsenovich, might be Don Jones, might be me, or it might be evil
hacker,
you know, hacker dude, went and put together some software, and he called it Zoomit. And here what you're doing is saying, hey, go grab that software and install it on my server. So it's a, you know, relatively dodgy proposition. On the other hand, it's easy. You can go create your own repositories, and in the future you'll see more curated repositories that you can then mark as trusted. And when you trust something, then you won't get given this. Now, this one I actually feel pretty good about because I ran it in a virtual machine, made sure it didn't do anything weird, and it didn't.
What
could go wrong? And so that installs that in the program files module repository. And then I can just run Zoomit. Happy days. And now let's see, where's my outgrid view? And now control one. Isn't that a beauty? Thing of beauty. Okay, so that's outgrid view. And again, trying to make it easy for you to find the internet, find all the software you want, get it installed on your box. Good Lord. Now, okay, so that's great. Then now the chocolatey repository and other repositories for OneGet are very much focused in on sort of IT pro packages. PowerShell Get is instead focused in on you, which is to say it is a package repository, or sorry, it is a repository for PowerShell artifacts. And we're just starting this off. There's a small number of things in there. It's actually going to be a limited invite only, so we can curate that for a while. And then we'll open it to the general public. But what that is...
How many of you ever wandered around on the internet trying to find that PowerShell module on CodePlex or GitHub that you know is out there that can do the right thing? Yeah, this is designed to help solve that problem. So we, in PowerShell version 3, they gave us the ability to find commands for all the modules that were installed in the right spot on your computer. You didn't have to know the module name. You could just use the help system or get command to find the command. The problem was you had to have the module first. And the question was always, well, is there a central place where I can go see all the, now there's starting to be, there wasn't. So now we can all kind of share this stuff together and have an easy way of bringing it down.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, PowerShell Get is layered on top of OneGet. Okay, so OneGet is in fact a package multiplexer that you can plug different things in. And so the mechanics are very similar, but then you can add extensions, right? So you'll see PowerShell will be able to do some more domain-specific things. So here, if I say find module, we go out to the internet.
Find module, that's the command we wanted, right? That's it.
That's it. There you go. And so there's already some pretty interesting stuff in there.
SNMP.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now, one of the other great techniques to learn PowerShell is to look at other people's code, right? So let's just grab one of these. Yeah, SNMP is kind of interesting.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong with SNMP? Anyway, so you grab other people's code and review it. So let's see. Let's see. Install module. SNMP. Let's do verbose. I always like verbose because often it'll tell you some interesting things. Verbose is a way it often will tell you underneath the covers. Is it there?
Yeah, it's done.
Oh, okay.
That was fast.
Yeah, it was. Okay, and so notice it tells you where it installed it. Okay, so now let's cd to there. Dir sn. There. Okay, so SNMP. PS. Oh, by the way, so I don't know if you know, it turns out a lot of people don't know about PSEdit. So in ISC, you can do this, right? Control O, navigate around, blah, blah, blah. Or.
GUI, 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 GUI.
GUI, GUI, GUI. Or you can type just PSEdit, and it just shows up there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You didn't know that?
No.
Seriously?
No, seriously.
Wow.
Woohoo!
You got your money's worth then, didn't you? Okay, so let's see. So this is Bartok. Bartok's one of our MVPs.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
That's cool. So SNMP. Oh, so I'm looking at the manifest. Okay. Presscom, I didn't know that. Module to manage systems using SNMP. Okay, that looks pretty cool. Now let's take a look at some of the code. See how he's doing it. Because actually I'm not sure how he's doing it, whether he's using his own library or the built-in Windows one. So here, notice he's showing, the function, shows you the help. Parameter blocks.
This is a great way to learn how to do PowerShell, too.
Exactly. Some of the best practices. Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, so LextTM.
Right host.
Oh, look at that.
Seriously?
Oh, God. Look at this.
Sometimes it's a way to learn how to not do things.
Oh, my God.
We would usually do that with right warning or right error, but,
So, Don, what happens when people use right host?
They get their MVP revoked.
Yeah, there you go.
And God kills a puppy.
Yes. Don is famous for saying that God kills a puppy every time you use right host. So I have a blog entry about this as well.
All right. We'll bug that in Connect.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. But it is a great way to see the different styles of coding. And also, as you share, we often encourage people to, share what you have. And often you're afraid, I'm not sure my code's good enough. Share it anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And people like us will go and say, hey, well, Bartok we know, so we'll probably give him a hard time. But in general, if it was one of you, we'd just say, oh, by the way, here's the right way to do that, and maybe point you at something.
So one of the things we're going to be adding to PowerShell.org in the coming months is a script peer review panel. So you can go drop a script in there, you know, take out all the names to protect the innocent, and just ask people for suggestions. And you'll get conflicting suggestions. And that's okay, because people have different opinions, and it's okay to all live together on the same planet. But it'll give you some feedback on that. At the next PowerShell Summit, which is coming up in Europe, in Amsterdam at the end of September, we're gonna be doing a hackathon. So we're actually gonna take some items from the PowerShell team's wish list, things that they wanna do that are very low priority for the team. And as a group, we're gonna hack it out. And then peer review each other, right then and there, and we'll get people to participate remotely too. So if you'd like to, pay attention to PowerShell.org, we'll get that posted. But you'll be able to get feedback on your code and work with people, and it doesn't matter if your code's good or bad, that's how you learn. Until you put it out there and ask folks for feedback, you'll never know. So you might as well do it. And this is a great way to do that. I mean, now we can go find them and say, hey, you know, what about changing this to be that? I've made some changes. Here's my version. Would you take a look at this and maybe think about using that instead? And that's how we all move everything together, kind of as a group.
Yeah, in fact, so one of the examples there, if you saw that, was, let's see, find module.
You have to turn your caps lock off. That's driving me nuts.
Yeah, okay. My module, IntelliSense, fixes that. XGIA. Ooh. Okay, so that's something I've been writing. XGIA stands for, by the way, desired state configuration. Anybody using desired state configuration? Okay, those of you who don't have your hands up are making a mistake. That's one of our most important technologies. You'll see, you know, it's, version one was very much of a version one, but since then we've been adding new things to it on a very rapid pace. It was one of the motivating reasons why we got on a cloud cadence for the Windows Management Framework, as we're innovating very, very quickly in the space and releasing that.
Who would like to learn more about desired state configuration? All right, two tips. First of all, go down to the scripting guys' booth. They have physical copies of the DSC book, which I wrote, helped by Steve Murowski, who's a fellow MVP who's been using DSC in production at Stack Exchange. You guys ever hear of stackoverflow.com? Yeah, that's how production ready this actually is. They're using it. So you can get a free copy of the DSC book. And then
for the cameras.
Tomorrow at around 4:15 in
all
General Assembly
A. All of you on the internet, go get this book.
About 4:15 tomorrow, I'm doing a session on DSC. And it's going to be a very, from the very beginning, architecture, where the holes are right now, what you can do with it, what's a little tricky right now. So it'll be a real, real straightforward thing. You can come ask questions. And then I'll be hanging out at the scripting guys booth too. And if you want to come talk about it, please do. This is probably one of the most important things that's happened to Windows. And in many ways, it's the culmination of almost 8 years of PowerShell investment.
Yep.
So don't let this one slip off your radar. Even if it's something you're not going to use right now, it's going to get away from you really quick.
Yeah. Now, the point I was making was that this, so DSC, Desired State Resource, resources, we put an X with them to say that they're experimental. Basically, we brought back the resource kit. So it's resource kit service level agreement, which says, hey, take it as it is, might change, might have breaking changes. And then when we're convinced, based upon community feedback, that no, this is, does what we needed to do, we'll get rid of the X and ship it that way. Anyway, so I've been writing these XGIA stuff. I've been working weekends, working early in the morning, we're writing all this stuff.
I am just so gobsmacked that you're writing code and shipping it to people.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened was, we do prioritization. Okay, you all know I've talked about this many, many times. To ship is to choose, right? It's very, very difficult, but you know, you got it. In order to ship something good, you have to decide what things you're not doing. So we always go through these planning processes and say, okay, yes, 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 no, 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 here's the line. Anyway, so we did a planning process, and this hit the line. And it's like, yeah, that's below the line. It's like, no, this is super, super important. They said, yeah, it's super important. What things would you take, what things would you cancel in order to ship it? And we basically had the prioritization right. And so I said, oh, the heck with it, I'll do it. And so, you know, I got a full-time job, but I'm doing this anyway, and it's going great. I'm having a blast with it. Now, the point is, so I'm writing all this code, and I'm putting it up on the website, and people are downloading it, using it. By the way, we're using it in production at Microsoft, right, to secure our file servers. But then people are like, hey, Jeffrey, why are you doing that? Didn't you realize you could do it this way? Couldn't you do it that way? So again, pretty senior guy, and I'm getting all sorts of great feedback on how to improve my code. So it's just a fantastic thing to do, to share your code. By the way, so I'm going to be giving a talk, Gia, Just Enough Admin, How to Secure a Post-Snowden World. What's that, Wednesday. Wednesday. Yeah. So I encourage you to do that, and we'll walk through, you know, kind of the problem and how I'm using desired state configuration to solve it.
So have you ever wanted to give someone exactly this much administrative privileges to do just this one thing to that one thing with that one other thing? Yeah, that's how.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it turned out that, have you ever wondered, like, so you all know that Exchange is fully manageable via PowerShell, right? And so you also know that Exchange Online has a PowerShell interface and a command line or a GUI interface that allows you to do those same functions to Exchange's servers online. So do you ever wonder how that worked? Well, I can guarantee you what isn't the case is they're not giving you an instance of Exchange just for you. You know, me and my family have my own Exchange in the cloud. No, no, no. It's a multi-tenant service, and that whole PowerShell is done using a set of security features that we developed for the Exchange team. So when you come in, you're not an admin, right? You're not an admin on those machines. They look you up and they say, oh, Don, okay, based upon what plan you have, here's a set of commands you have, here's the restrictions on those commands, and I create a PowerShell environment for you, and when you invoke those things, I then run it as an Exchange admin here. So you don't have any rights, but you're able to do things with admin rights. So that's what we're doing. We're taking those concepts and we're making them available to more broadly. And the trick has been how to do so in a way that people can actually deploy. In fact, as I first started this with the MSIT group, that's the guys who run our internal IT, I talked about all the details. Ooh, it's going to be wonderful. You'll have a trouble ticketing system, and when you grab a ticket, we'll find out exactly what functions you need on exactly which servers for exactly that time, and we'll punch those open, and then they'll shut them down, and they're like, no, no. Like the security guys loved it. Like, yeah, that's exactly what we've been talking about. And the people trying to run systems are like, nah, that's not going to work. Anyway, so you'll see how we use desired state configuration. So the trick I learned was the technology, that's sort of the easy part. The hard part is transforming that technology into a way that people can actually adopt and use. So the Gia code is out there. I encourage you, when you can get it this Wednesday, download it, try it, and when you see my bad coding practices, call me on it. Say, hey, Jeffrey, what about this? What about that? Or if you want to say, hey, here's a better way to write that code, I'm all the happier to hear about
it. We're doing a patterns and practices session on Wednesday if you want to drop in.
Can listen? Okay, that's
good. We can review your code.
That's good. Okay, so discovery, PowerShell get. So we kind of went past some things. What we said was, how do we find things? And the first was get command. Okay, so you run get command, and it shows you all the commands, there you go. So there's a lot of commands. Okay, so that's a lot. Now what I showed you was a technique, and I can say dash module, and specify a module like dism, and you'll see just the commands there, or you can do things like wildcards, right? So get dash something. And you just the getters. What
dash
else?
Dash noun, dash verb.
Yeah.
I love dash noun.
Do you? Dash noun.
Well, you're going to let me touch your computer this year?
Yeah.
I broke his mouse one time.
Yeah.
Because you know, a lot of the commands have got prefixes on the fronts of them, right? You know, a lot of the Active Directory commands, the net commands. So if you use minus noun, it's really easy just to get everything that has to do with one thing. Now, that particular one spreads across several different modules. There's network switch, there's net security, there's net adapter. But it's a quick way to, it's almost, I view it as like my built-in search engine. It's a quick way for me to find what's there, and then my next step might be to look at that and go, ah, yes. What I really wanted to do was modify some things. So let's use all that again with just the ones that have the verb set, and I can start narrowing down those search results to find what I want. And then obviously once you find the command you want, you can read the help, see the examples, and start using the thing, start playing with it a little bit, see how it works.
Oh, you want to see something cool? So I have no idea whether this will work or not, but I don't know if you noticed what he was doing. So again, why use ISC? Because it helps you explore, and this is all about exploring. So notice this. So module, total count. What the hell is total count?
I don't know.
Let's see what total count does. Oh, you got to give it an integer.
Limit the results. Three? Like top five? Yeah,
oh, okay.
Top three.
Okay, good. I don't know why that's a good idea, but anyway. I'm sure someone thought it was a good idea at some point. But check this down here. Parameter name. So if you know something to do with networking, like there's like that, you know, have you ever done that where like sometimes I'll be trying to set up WinRM for a demo or something,
yeah,
and it'll say, you can't do that. You're on a public network.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm at home. This is a virtual machine. I'm not on a public network. And then you go up and there's like, you go into that dialogue. What the heck? This thing down here.
I've never been able to find it. I usually just quit.
Oh, this thing? Yeah, just quit, right? Just shoot yourself in the head. Anyway, like somehow it tells you just hideous, and I can never figure out how to change it. Well, it turns out that thank you, the networking team added some commands about network profiles, right? Anyway, so here, let's see, I don't know if this will work. So I'm gonna say, hey, in the modules networking associated with set, are there any parameter names that have something to do with like profile? And the answer is no. Well, that was awkward.
Shocking.
Okay, oh, well, here you go. Enable PS remoting, enable. But I know that they added one, so they obviously didn't use the name profile. So what about if the command name had something to do with profile? Oh, and there it is. Set network connection profile. So let's just explore that one. Set net connection profile dash, what'd they call it? Name,
interface
network
alias
category.
That's obvious.
Yeah, why is that a good idea?
Because it's called that where nowhere else.
Wow. Oh, well, here's your alias. So there you go. Okay.
That's the name of the interface.
Okay, so now.
Like Ethernet or something.
Yeah.
See if it'll tab complete that.
Oh, I think tab? No.
It
does, but with file names. So so now with this get command, let's say set star, and what was that? Set star minus parameter name. This is IPv4 star.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there you go. Okay, so anyway, so these things are pretty darn rich, pretty darn capable. Now the other one, I don't know if you saw that, this one's a little bit nuanced, okay? So let's see. It was get command minus parameter type. Parameter type, okay?
Data type?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
So here what you can do, parameter type. Let's see if this works. System.diagnostics.process. Ooh, there you go. So what this says is, you know, you do PowerShell's a lot about the object pipeline, right? And so the question is, hey, If I do get process, and here I'll limit this to SS. If I do get process, you know, it looks like text, it's not text. It's objects that when it hits the screen, we splat as text, okay? But it's not, it's really objects, okay? So what are those objects? Well, you pipe it to get member. Get member, member.
You're making a good effort to use command line names here, I appreciate that.
Member. Okay, and notice, way up here, it shows you its type, system diagnostic process. And so the question is, well, hey, if I do a get process, here's one. Oh. I'm really quite a bad.
This was all easy until you added 3,000 commands to the thing.
No, that's true. That's true. Success has its problem. The question is, what can I pipe that to? And the answer would be, well, there's two answers. One is anything that accepts a system diagnostic process.
Which is what you figured out before.
Which is what I figured out now. So I say get command minus parameter type
Bonk.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, excuse me. I don't think you're supposed to swear at a tech ad.
When it's being live streamed, no.
Control Z.
That way lies madness. There you go.
Okay, right. So there you go.
You can pipe it to any of those.
You can pipe it to any of those. So there you go. So that's why you want to do get.
How many of you have felt that your career has at least been made easier by becoming a master of search engine syntax? You know when to put the site colon and the minus and the. Well, it's the same thing. This is just a quicker and easier and more precise way of finding exactly what's going to work in a given situation. And this really is the type of thing that differentiates between someone who knows PowerShell well and a multiple choice exam and someone who can sit down and kick butt with it. So, for example, if I were interviewing someone for a full-time or mostly full-time PowerShell job, and those exist now, by the way, that's the type of thing I would want to see them do to know that they were really, really on with their PowerShell foo. So that's something to keep in mind, because those full-time PowerShell jobs are happening.
PowerShell foo?
PowerShell foo.
What's that?
Like Kung Fu, but with PowerShell.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, so did anybody notice that I made a spelling mistake? I'm not so good with the keyboard. Everyone noticed. Okay, so there's this wonderful thing called show command. Show commands. Well, first, get command, star command. Okay, so look. Ignore some of these SQL stuff. Oh, I see. But there's get command, invoke command, measure command, and show command. Anybody show command? Oh, you're going to like
this. Come on, you can admit it.
The show command is now your friend. I want you to all, like one thing, show command. Learn show command.
Do it with get event log.
What?
Do it with get event log.
No.
Yeah.
Show, I'm just going to do this. You can do it with get event log. So it brings you up all the commands. And so here it shows you the modules, and you can pick specific modules, like which one?
I don't know.
The event log one?
That's core.
I don't know. Or you can do it with the searchy bit. Event log. Event log.
Yeah, you gotta start.
Oh, yeah, the event log.
You can do a get event if you want to.
Okay.
But the neat thing is, you know how commands have got multiple parameter sets? Yeah. This breaks those down into tabs. So you can't possibly get confused about what parameters go with which set.
Oh, I see. You wanted to do that.
And there's a certain amount of irony in using a GUI to write your command line.
It is. Boy. So.
Little sad right now.
So yeah, let's do this. So here, you can specify get process. You can say by name or by ID. By the way, get process, just everything to do with process. We just put a lot of investment in there. It's one of the like safe and easy things to go explore.
Yeah, that's how I broke your mouse last time.
No, go. Party.
No. I'm afraid of that thing.
What do you want to do? Anyway, so you can say get things by name, you know, star SS. Okay, that, yay, or.
But it shows you the command, right? You're not just hitting OK in that dialogue and it run. It's typing the command out for you. And you're meant to pay attention to that so you can start to. It's a great way for someone who's new to figure out the syntax, honestly.
Right. Here, you say, I want to specify the ID. Let's specify ID 520. And then we'll run it and get that. Now, has anybody noticed anything like suboptimal with this workflow?
A lot of mouse.
Show command, run it. So notice this wonderful little thing here. Can you see this? No, of course you can't see it. That's why I installed Zoom It.
Oh boy.
So right here is a little thing that I'm going to click on, and voila. Can you even see that? This is a docked show command in the ISE. So now when I say get process here, I can say, let's see, what was it, star SS. And when I run it, notice it doesn't go away. That's great. That wasn't quite what I wanted. Let me show everything with a C. Yeah, it's great. That's wonderful. Okay, there you go. So there you go.
Discovery.
Yeah, so show command is one of your biggest friends. And, of course, you might say, hey, what are all these things? Using the amazing Control 1, you'll see that there is this help. Don't tell Rusinovich I use his tools.
Does he get a royalty every single time?
So when you click on that, we bring up the help. Okay, help is your friend. It truly is helpful. Now, you will find that in order to make it helpful, you first have to get it. Okay, so if you have something, let me show you what you get by default. Here, we'll start a new command. I'm gonna have a new commandlet, and I'm gonna start from scratch. So what do? I use?
Function.
Snippets.
Oh.
Snippets? I'm not gonna write this code. Control J brings up snippets. So I'm gonna bring up this snippet, I'm gonna pick it, and then it writes the code for me. Hey, awesome. And I'm gonna say test stuff, and when I hit F8, I've then run it. Now when I say get help, get stuff.
Test stuff?
Oh, don't.
You have angered it.
I've angered the gods. And PowerShell supports error messages. Anyway, test
so
stuff.
So the trick is, how many of you remember high school English class? Fondly. Yeah. So you could tell how well I had done on a paper by measuring it before and after, and the difference was red ink. And so those error messages will spew up a lot of times. And I mean, you're right in the middle of trying to do something, or even worse, someone is looking over your shoulder, and your immediate reaction is clear screen. Get rid of that. Because all that red just makes you want to curl into a little ball.
Bad Don, bad Don.
Exactly. So I actually changed my error message text to green so that I feel good about myself when that happens. But the error messages are not bad. At every single version, they get a little better. And if you actually do read them into your brain, it will tell you what's going on. It will make sense. So just don't panic when you see. That's why I changed it to green.
Yeah, you know, actually, I don't do that, but I think that's a cool idea. Let's go down the rabbit hole. Why don't you do a bookmark? Tell them about updatable help. Let's go down this rabbit hole. So Don here, I just heard about this thing. This Don Jones guy, I went to a session, and he was showing his error message. Make some error. Do some error.
You got to switch it to.
Yeah, which one?
Two. It's new shell, so I do this.
No, don't. I'm going to figure that out. Okay. I don't want you to tell them how. Do you have one that's already showing? No, you don't. Okay, so no. I don't know how this is.
I don't know how to figure it out. I would probably take that and pipe it to get member.
Are you there?
And then that's got...
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Get out of here. What the heck?
You're a superhero.
No, well, you know how to... You know the answer. I don't know the answer.
Really? You don't know how to do this?
No, I sort of know it's something to do with the host. But no, actually, I don't.
Right.
So,
proceed.
Step number one. I asked about show object. Some people raised their hands. Most of you didn't. The reason why I mentioned, I don't think I ever finished that story. So show object is in Lee Holmes' stuff. And so what I want to first do is to get his cookbook. So first is I find module. Find module. Something to do with a cookbook. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to install module PowerShell cookbook. And now, get command, show object. Ah, show object. Okay, so now I've got show object. Wonderful, now I'm happy. Anywhere I go, I do those three commands, I have show object. You can do the same thing, so goodness. Now, as I recall, it was something to do with the host. Right? So I'm gonna change the host. So, and I knew that there wasn't a commandlet for it. So how do you find things with variables? Well, do you know about drives? Okay, so if you're not familiar, get PS drive. This shows you the drives. And if you're not familiar with this, take a short digression. I mentioned we're going down the rabbit hole. We will find our way back. So the drives present different information as drives. So just as I can say CD into the file system, I can CD into these other things, like CD into HKLM, software. HKLM. Dang it. HKLM software, see that. Or, wait, this is way too big. Or dir cert:, current user / my. Right? So, okay, right? And what was it? Get PS drive variable. Look at that, there's a variable drive. Anybody use the variable drive? It's awesome. It's awesome. So let's see what could be a variable drive. Dir variable. and these look like variables. So let's see if that's true. If it was a variable, I could do something like $ZZZZZ equals, holy schmoly. Do that again, and there it is, holy schmoly. Look here, holy schmoly. Okay, so all the variables are there. Don't tell Rasinovich. So it was something to do with the host. And so I look here, and I could go look here, but there's a whole bunch of them. So why don't I, again, use variables? Sorry, use wildcards, because wildcards are your friend. Variable colon star host. Oh, it's $host. So here's what I'm going to do. I say $host pipe to show object. Okay, so again, what do? Get PS drive, showed me all my drives. Variable drive, did a dir, used wildcards to find something that was generally in the right ballpark. Next, I could go explore that with get member. That's an awesome tool, but show object is even cooler. But I don't have show object. So I used get PowerShell get, the find module, to find it in a repository, pull it down, and now I've got show object. And show object says, and notice, it's too small to see.
Let me guess.
So what this does is it shows you the object, and then what its properties are, name, there's its name, version, etc. Okay? And so then, you can then explore. So I'm betting it has something to do with the UI, because culture is not going to do it. And there's raw UI. And look, let's see, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm missing it. So there's like the colors for the console in the background, and the cursor position, the window position, buffer, title. Oh, look at that, title. Amazing. Check this out. So down here, when I've selected something up here, it does a get member down here, and it adds PowerShell syntax to access that thing. So let's just check this out here a second. So let's take this, copy, Control C. Let's go back here. Let's create a new tab. Let's see if I did this right. So look at that. See, Windows PowerShell ISC. So wait a second. Let's see if this is true. This is cool. Equals PowerShell rocks the house. Whoa. See that? See the title? You can't see the title? Here, let me help you. Look at that. I'm telling you, this internet thing is taking
off. You still haven't changed
off.
Your error text.
No, I haven't.
I'm waiting on that.
No. So, I actually have no idea where it is. I thought I would find it easily. So then what I would do is I call up Don Jones and I say, Don, run space? No, it's not going to be in run space. Private data?
No, don't click on that. It's private.
Oh, okay. Don't click on that.
It's in private data.
Private data. Oh, look there. Debug foreground color. Debug. No, error. There you go. Error foreground color. Wonderful. Okay, so let's grab this, and it's a media color. I have no idea what that is. So one of the techniques I do whenever I can't do something wrong, like I'm not sure what to provide here, is I just do this, and then use this. Okay, so it says it cannot change that thing to one of these things. So I forced its hand. I made it tell me what it was looking for. It's like, okay, well, what is that thing?
And in a lot of cases, because it's telling you the type of thing it wants, you can punch that into a search engine and get into the documentation online for that type, and it'll give you its acceptable versions.
Color structure. Blah.
Just do that.
Oh, here's even better. Oh, even better. Don, here's the other trick you do. Again, what happens when you don't know what to do? You just type that. And it's not a valid color. God damn it. Well, I bet you if I asked Don and he said type green, it would work. And so now what I can do is I can say copy. Go back up to here. Paste. Ooh, can you see that? Yeah, okay. So So that really does kind of highlight what we're trying to get across, right? One, like at some point, I probably designed the damn thing, right? But that was a long time ago, and I can't remember it. So I either didn't know it or can't remember it. But using the techniques we talked about here, we're trying to express, you can go find this stuff out, right? So show member, help, etc. Oh, back to help. We're going to go down the rabbit hole. Now we're going to come back up the rabbit hole. Help. So I showed this command. Oh, somewhere here. I showed a command, and it had minimal help. Okay. So when you basically build a commandlet, we take a look at that structural commandlet information, and we can present help for that. And it looks pretty good, but it doesn't have any of the descriptions. And particular, when you install PowerShell on servers, you know, chances are you don't want the help on all the servers. You want the help where you want the help, which is to say the user experience. So often you're going to do the work from a client machine and then invoke it, you know, remote to a remote server. So you have to get help. So what you do is you say update. Well, here, let's check it out. What are all the things associated with help? And one of them is update help. And look here. So it can take a path, confirm. Why not? Force.
I can tell you why not.
Oh, why not?
Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Oh, I see. Let's see. And module, which one should I do?
Do module. Oh, any module? What do you got on there, NetAdapter?
Dot something.
NetAdapter.
NetAdapter? Here, you know what? We're going to update the net help. So netstar,
Yeah,
you see
work.
That? It's amazing. So here, you can specify which commands you want. And I always like verbose. Verbose is fun. I don't know if you've seen this, common parameters, we hide them. Because sometimes you want them, sometimes you don't. Anyway, so I'm going to say verbose. And I run that. And now we go out to the internet. And we find this help, and we'll downline load it. So in the past, the way this used to work was we'd say, hey, we're going to ship on this date. Therefore, all the help has to be translated. Therefore, the last time I can write the help is this date here.
And what happened in between those two dates? Yeah, the developers broke the help.
Exactly.
They changed the code, and the help people had no time to catch up.
Exactly.
So you had typos, and you had just stuff that just was wrong.
Right. And of course, the answer was, hey, just hang in there. We'll release the operating system in another 3 years, and we'll fix it then. And at some point, we said, that's kind of a crummy answer. And the other crummy answer was, we shipped this. We just snapped the help. It's off. We've got these vendors. They're translating it as we go. And Don Jones calls me up and says, hey, you got a problem. You need to fix it. And I'd say, oh, but if I fix that, I'll have to change the help. And so I didn't want to change your bugs because I'd have to fix the help. That was just a broken dynamic. And so now what we do is we ship it online. That means English is always available and other languages lag a bit. But as we have problems, then we're constantly publishing, taking feedback from the community and making it good. And so most people have a background task that will update their help once a week or once a month. Okay, so that's help. Now, there's lots of great stuff in help. There's help. Oh, by the way, and so some people will say, actually, you want to show them this? Because I actually never do this.
I don't know what we're showing.
The thing.
What thing?
Save help.
Save, oh, yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Anybody have servers that aren't allowed, or computers that aren't allowed to talk directly to the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, we all do.
Yes.
So there is another little command you can throw in. I'm not connected right now, but I'll show it to you.
You can use my computer.
I'm not touching your computer, seriously.
Okay.
2 years ago, is this the same mouse?
No.
The one I broke?
Well, this is broken, so was that you?
Yeah, that's probably me.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The idea, this does the same thing as update help, but it only does actually half of it. It goes out and it'll download the help and then just leave it wherever you tell it to put it. Then you can go to other computers and run update help and give them that location. And so they'll suck it out of there instead of having to go up to the internet. So if they're not internet connected, it's a way to take all the help files, stick them on a flash drive or put them on a file share or whatever you kids do these days. And then all the other machines can pull from that one source. So even in an office where maybe you've got some administrators and you don't have the best WAN bandwidth in the world, the internet connection's not so awesome, one person can pull it down and everybody else can just glom off of that, so that they're all not that the help is huge, but you know, it's a way to kind of change things around and control that. So it's I actually use it a lot for classes.
Oh.
Because I get customers who build these VM images and they don't know that there's no help. And so I get to the class and I'm like, okay, we're gonna talk about help. And they're like, there's nothing here. There's no examples, there's nothing. That's okay, here's a flash drive with all the help. Just run update help against that and then they can all get it. So it's a way to carry that around offline.
Yeah, awesome. So let's explore some help, because help is your friend. Okay, so get help. So anybody really like spend time, like you can go down and spend like days on help. It's crazy. And show command, again, is one of those things. I think most people do this, right? They do what I do, is they say get help, and that gives them the stuff and they read that. And then after that, it's typically get help, get process, right? And just get help about a particular command, and that's it. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, you could say get process. And really the thing was like minus name and I'm doing something, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing. If you're ever not sure what you're doing, you just type dash question mark and we'll get you the help there, right?
But it's like the Cliff Notes version of the help.
It's the Cliff Notes version of the help.
It's the minimal amount of help you can possibly ask for.
Exactly. So the point is, that's like get process. Okay, here, CLS. I felt so much better about myself when I did that.
That's
look
great.
At that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very life affirming.
Like I feel, yeah. It's like, go Bears.
It's also ecologically friendly because it's green.
Oh, okay. So there's get, and that shows you that. Okay, but then notice here, there's detailed examples online. So let's try it here. What happens if I type get process here? And the answer is, what happened there? Oh. Dash detailed. See that star? Can you see the star? But you can't. See that star right there? That says it's required.
I'm just going to present with Rasinovich next time.
Okay, so the detailed gives you lots of details. So notice now, okay, so it gives you the name, synopsis, syntax, gives you full description, and then related links, remarks, and examples. Alternatively, you could have said, hey, just show me the examples for get process.
And when you get home and you're watching other folks in your environment use PowerShell and start getting used to it, watch them for this. How many of you have ever had to run some wacky command line? iCackles is the one I always do this with. And your first step is a search engine, so you can find out if anybody else has figured out how to run the syntax for this thing first, right? Most of the examples are built in. This is get process, for pity's sake. There's 10 examples. Any possible way you can use this, there's examples. So it's a lot faster to get it here than to spend your time going into somebody's blog or whatever else. Get people to start here. So watch for that. You know, when you tell someone to do something in PowerShell and their first stop is a search engine, hey, whoa. Let's make sure you've got the help. Let's get you using that, because this is going to be a lot quicker and a lot more efficient to get you from point A to point B.
And let me illustrate that, because here's a technique that I came to late in life and just loved, right? So here it's showing you all this help, but then what do you do with that, right? And the answer is, well, you can go and repeat it. Let's see, get process to format. So you start typing, get, and it's gone away, right?
Yeah, how many of you have two monitors at work? Is there any way to pop it up in a separate window?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, show window. Ooh, you're yeah. That's pretty good. That's not where I was going.
I like it better, though.
Get process. So you can do this. Oh, yeah, okay, so the slash show window.
Oh.
Voila. Okay, and so that's great. Oh, and this is actually pretty cool, because notice the settings. Hey, what do you want to see? Do you want to see the examples? Do you want to see the notes? See the whole thing? And you can search for stuff.
I never actually clicked that button.
Really?
Nope, never did.
Explore, my friend, explore. The world awaits. But I don't do this. Sometimes I do this. This is pretty cool. But when I really want to explore something, here's what I do. I go back to examples. I'm going to do this. Instead of typing run, I'm going to type copy. I click copy. No, click insert. And then what I do is I pipe it to clip. Right? That puts it in the clipboard. Then what I do is I open up a file here and I paste it. And why do I do that? And the answer is this. Because now what I can do is in PowerShell, in ISE, you can just select text and run it, right? So here I type, I select get process, and then hit single key F8, and it just runs it. Now this is, it, you know, it doesn't, notice this is a text file, and it just runs, right? Whatever you selected. So if you select that, I get that nice green telling me that that's not a command, right? So you can do anything, but it's whatever you select. Now the point of that is, like here, I don't even know if that works. By the way, so notice, don't select the prompt, that won't work. So F8, that's cool. Or I extend it, and I say format list, well that's cool. Or extend it, format list star, and see everything. Okay, so that's just a really cool technique. Oh, there you go. Get object, oh, have you ever seen this one? Look at that, what a mess. Okay, so that's sort of cool. Actually, the way I would do this, I would say pipe to sort working set, right? So let's highlight that.
You just modified the help.
I just modified the help. Can't save it,
it's
though.
Reverse publishing right now.
Exactly. PS get, PS publish. Oh, by the way, so there is a publish in, as part of PS get. Okay, so here's the working set, and voila. Okay, so that's kind of cool. But notice, anybody I know what that number is? Quick. 10 million, 200,000, 2 million, 20 million, 200, who the frick knows, right? I can't do that. And again, I've told you the story. PowerShell's an awesome language because I'm such a deeply flawed human. And it's true, right? I just could not tell you what that thing was. The only way I could do it is to start here. And
insert the commas?
Insert the commas. Okay. That's what I do. 1, 2, 3? It's 3, right? 1, 2, 3. Okay, so that's 20 million. Okay, great. What a pain in the butt, right? Wouldn't it be much better to just say, hey, 20 megabytes. And that's the way it works. And okay, or 40 megabytes. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so it, I don't know if you've seen this, but basically we have support for that. 20 megabytes, 1 kilobyte. 1 megabyte.
That's base 2.
Yes.
That's technically a kilobyte.
Terabyte, 1. What's after that?
Tebibyte, bebibyte.
Stop. What's after that? PB?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that's as far as it goes.
X? Or Y?
No, I think it'd be EB.
E? Okay, so it stops at some point. But check this out, it's full math, right? So 1 kilobyte plus 2 megabytes plus 3 gigabytes plus 4 terabytes plus 5 petabytes. Plus what?
That's a D.
Oh, D, B.
It was even underlining it, it knew it was wrong.
Yeah, there you go. In a nice, calm, green fashion. There you go. So, and I'm pretty sure that that number is correct. You can check that if you'd like. So it works out pretty cool. Anyway, so again, it's a bunch of techniques to try and make you more successful. Okay, so now actually help. Go back to help. All yours is you. So this show command is just a fantastic way to explore things. Now, did you know that you could do help by category? Anybody ever done help-category? Right, so let's check out what that is. Category. Alias. Oh, you did help alias. Obviously, you don't want the name here. What's that give you? Oh, it shows you the aliases. Okay, that's kind of cool. Is help commandlet. I bet you I know what that is. Help provider. Check that out. So check this out. Help provider. There's the alias provider, the environment provider, the file system provider. So these should look familiar because remember we did the get PS drive. And here were the names, cert, but here were the providers, alias. And so here, this help is showing you help about those providers. So let's explore one of those. What would be a good one to explore? Let's do the cert provider. Provider, name, cert. Cert. And look at that. And so it tells you all this great information about the cert provider. Is that crazy? Now notice here, here's another one. Now this one relates. Notice path. You ever wondered that? Like help has a minus path. Now why would help have a minus path? That seems like a rather strange thing. Well imagine, it's actually right before us. Imagine I do help on dir, right? Okay, so it's gonna tell you dir is actually get child item. And notice what it shows you. You know, shows you the path, the filter, exclude, exclude, exclude. So, but this is help. Now, I've done help for dir, and it's giving me the help, whether it's the file system or the registry or the cert provider, et cetera. Because indeed, most of that works the same, right? I can say dir minus recurse C colon, or dir minus recurse cert colon, or come back, or dir minus recurse HKLM software. Okay, so that's all the same, but each drive, imagine this, imagine I did help dir minus path cert colon current user. Okay, now, actually here, let's do it this way. Show window, using the amazing show window. Notice here, you see that? It says get child item minus code signing cert. Now I'm pretty sure that's not gonna work with the registry, okay? I'm pretty sure that's not gonna work with the file system. So in PowerShell, PowerShell's drives are a combination of providing you a uniform experience across all these different environments and providing you domain-specific experiences. So whereas you can do a registry, you know, dir minus recurse on most drives, on the cert drive, you can we go and we explore it and say, hey, what additional things can you do on the cert drive? And it turns out that I can do things like code signing, asking for DNS names, EKUs, we support EKUs, of course. What is an EKU? Well, let's find out. What is an EKU?
So part of the moral here is that this exploration process is something you have to do if you want to find out what PowerShell can do for you. Because even in every different technology you connect to, some of the commands that you think you know well are going to adapt themselves and change and be different. So it's worth looking, because if you don't look, you'll never know that you could do that.
And of course, we support the extended key usage. I don't know if I've told you about that. It's very, very important. Let's see if there's some help. See if there's a... Oh, yep, awesome.
There it is.
So let's check this out. I have no idea what an EKU is. Something about server authentication.
It's what the keys allow, what the certificate's allowed to be used for.
Oh, well, that sounds useful. Oh, I don't have web hosting. Okay, fine. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
let's do recurse. Okay, so that's telling me that thing supports server
that's
authentication.
That's a suitable thing, yeah. Wow. We actually use that a lot in IIS because it's a quick way to find something. Because, you know, there's a whole bazillion certificates in there.
Yeah.
So when you're provisioning a website, hooking up SSL, that's a quick way to find your actual SSL certs.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I do this one a lot because I can never remember where the hell my code signing cert is. Code sign, like I
yeah.
Everybody remember the name of the thumbprint of their code signing cert? Anyone? No. Like, good Lord, no. And apparently I didn't have one. Anyway, oh, because I didn't do a recurse. Recurse. There you go. So it turns out I've got a bunch of them. And, oh, don't look. Those are mine.
Can I have that one?
No. Okay. So anyway, so how do we get here? So what we said was dir supports, dir of the cert drive supports code signing and EKU, et cetera. And how did we find that, right? Again, I had no idea what an EKU was. By exploring the help through the show command, I saw that show command, that help supported minus path. And so exploring there, we were able to then see that certain commands have additional capabilities based upon the help, based upon the path that they're working on. And because of that, they need additional help to highlight those capabilities.
You want to spend the next 5 minutes talking about tools?
Good Lord. The second half of the talk.
Yeah. So
This will be the fastest crash course ever, but here's sort of where you should think about taking PowerShell. Once you've figured out a command, let's walk that back just a second. How many of you like answering the phone and talking to your coworkers?
I expected at least one hand.
My goal is zero phone calls, zero emails. And one way to achieve that, once you have figured out a command, and here's a very, very simple one we'll just use as an example. Once you've gotten a command working, and I always start at the console, I always run everything in the console first, because it's an easy way to get an error message. And I'm not confused about where the error message came from. It came from the command I just ran. And I can really quickly up arrow and fix this. Once you turn it into a command, your next step should always be, how can I put this into some form so that the next time this command needs to be run to solve whatever, they don't have to call me anymore? In other words, be the person who makes the automation so that someone else can run it. And the idea there is to move it into a tool. You become a tool maker instead of a tool user. And PowerShell's scripting language is rich enough that you can build something that looks, smells, tastes, and feels just like a real PowerShell command, a script commandlet, technically called an advanced function. It's got help. How many of you who code or script believe comments are good? I like these because they're useful for someone who reads this. But if someone asks for help on this, which we'll do in a sec, it'll turn it into a standard PowerShell help screen because it knows how to read this particular type of help formatting. And you get into it and—
Does it support dash path?
Does it support that? I have no idea.
Okay.
We'll look in a sec. When you get into it, there's not a ton of code in here beyond that original command. I'm running three different commands and I'm combining their output together.
Oh.
And I've got some nice parameters.
What's
that?
What are you getting? Operating system,
OS,
BIOS,
computer system stuff, like little inventory type of script.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the first way I ever tried to do something like this. I took the command that was in, that I'd gotten working in the console, I stuck it in a file, and I sent it to my help desk. And I said, guys, this works, it's perfect. Anytime you want to modify, anytime you need to use this, just open this up and change the computer name to, I mean, not the dash computer name, you got to change the actual, but don't hit an extra enter. It didn't go well. With parameters, though, you give them a defined way of specifying exactly what this thing needs as input, minus computer name. So at the end of the day, and I'll throw it at the bottom here, let's take a look at its help. It supports show window.
Ooh.
It's a standard looking help screen.
You didn't need to use Zoom it. That's awesome.
No, I can though. See, it's built in.
Oh. I didn't know Resetovich worked for Apple.
Other way around.
Oh.
And then if I want to use this, we can do get OS info. It's going to tab complete. Oh, there's computer name. Okay, I can punch in a couple of values here. What else? I've got all my standard dash verbose and everything else. We'll do OV.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Okay.
You see where I defined my minus verbose parameter? No, I didn't have to, because by doing this, PowerShell gives me a whole mess of functionality for free, including turning on and off the output of write verbose when I run it with minus verbose. So if you write these things, if you start learning how to build your commands into tools and you let PowerShell do most of the work, which it's perfectly willing to do, you work less, and the output, the result, is much more like a standard PowerShell commandlet. So we can run this, and we get some nice verbose output. We get the actual intended output of the thing. So it works just like a real commandlet.
You didn't type OV.
I didn't type what?
OV.
Oh, OV.
Come on.
Out variable. There.
Hoo-ha. You guys know about pipeline variable? Do you know about pipeline variable?
Yeah.
We added pipeline variable to this latest version. Has anybody seen, what are we calling it? Azure automation? So it's basically orchestrator as a service running up in Azure. In order to make that work, it is an extension of the PowerShell workflow engine hosted in Azure. Crazy cool stuff. There's some sessions on it this week, you should see it. But in order to make that work, it was the orchestrator team, the System Center orchestrator team that did that. And they said, hey, you know, we need some extra features. And one of them is pipeline variable.
Oh, you want me to run it too?
Well, no. Oh, no, that's not it. Here.
Well, here, knock yourself out.
Oh, God. No. Oh, God. No.
Yeah.
Here, I'll show you mine. His machines.
Yeah, that didn't go well 2 years ago either.
No, that didn't go well at all. Okay, so here, what I'll do is, let's see, get process, pipe to star SS. Imagine I'm going to do some for each, right? For each, and I'm going to say $_underbar.name, right? And, you know, or, sorry.
You got like 30 seconds. You got less than that.
Dot name. Name. God damn it. Okay, there. Right? But what you can do is you can say PV simple to type. And now you can say $simple to type.
Makes it a little more readable at the end of the day. So real quick, before they throw us out, best spot to start for resources if you want to explore, if you want to learn more, if you need help, very friendly community, PowerShell.org. We've got great forums. We really do try and help folks. We welcome your participation. Please help us help each other. We do scripting games. If you're having trouble getting to PowerShell and you want something to practice against, a reason to play with it, the games are a great way to do that. There's a ton of free ebooks up there. There's a newsletter. We're starting webinars in a couple of months. All kinds of stuff. Everything is literally owned by the community. So,
and if you ever want to get really chewy, Don held this fantastic PowerShell summit, and it's booked pretty quickly, so you're going to want to hit like F5 every day on that. But man, a bunch of us just get together and geek out. It was so much fun. There is a ton to learn in PowerShell, ton to explore. We learn a lot from each other. We welcome you to the community, so please come do it. Tonight, down at the expo, grab yourself some beers and go to the scripting guy. The scripting guy has a booth. I'll be there so we can talk, rap, have some fun.
Thanks for your attention.
Thanks. Hope you enjoyed this.